Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Setter is where he always is when we need him. He's on the other side of the glass being our producer. We very much appreciate his help and hard work. Next, we're going to talk to one of the individuals that's helping to circulate a petition regarding the Selinsgrove Area School District's past actions and a lot of future actions regarding race and diversity training and policing on campus and discipline in a wide range of other activities. They're circulating a petition that has six demands from the Selinsgrove Area School District community in solidarity with the movement for Black Lives. Now, we're not identifying our good caller because she's part of a group of individuals of which I'm not sure that there is a leader or spokesperson per se, but this individual is an alum and somebody, a real stakeholder, and very interested in great education and raising up super kids around here. So she's on the news line with us now. So thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Let's kind of start with what we're going to fix here. If we're going to talk about racism or a lack of diversity or maybe policing's not quite doing all that it can be, where are we starting from? What's the problem that we're going to fix if elements of this petition are implemented? What's going on now?
So the reality is that the Selinsgrove School District hasn't been a safe place for Black students and a lot of other students, non-Black people of color, non-Christian students, LGBTQ students. We knew this before the petition from personal experience and from conversations with others, but the confidential comments that have been shared with us, and honestly, the fact that we reached nearly 500 signatures in 2 days has sadly reinforced how true that is. The petition has six demands. One is to reinvest money into counselors and other student services. The second is to provide, like you said, anti-racism training for staff, students, and the community. The third is to fundamentally alter the fifth grade camp or outdoor education curriculum in ways that already seem to be in motion. And the second sort of bit of that is to apologize to the alumni who were part of the program during the years in which it normalized the Confederacy. Fourth is to broadly reform the curriculum and do things like include more Black authors and people of color in curriculum. Adjust district policies like hiring and recruitment to bring in a more diverse teaching staff. And then lastly, it's just that we would like the district to tell us what their plan is sometime in July.
You talk about the fact that the district now may not be is not a safe place for members of the Black community or people of the LGBTQ community, maybe other minorities. Define that. When you say it's not safe, you don't necessarily mean that they're physically injured or assaulted on a regular basis, although I think that can happen. But what are we describing?
So racism shows up in different ways. Overtly and more hidden, and then interpersonally and systemically. And so at this point, everyone has probably seen or heard about the George Floyd challenge video. That's an example of overt racism along like using a slur. A thing called microaggressions is also a common form of interpersonal racism, saying something like, you're the whitest Black person I know, or picking out the one person of color in a room and asking them to speak for their entire racial or ethnic group. And then there's structural racism, which is what our petition is focused on. How do the rules and laws and policies of a place, and in this case it's the school district, create unequal outcomes and uphold white supremacy? And I think it's important, as we're talking about all of this, pointing out the specific challenges faced by people of color isn't to say that white folks don't also face hardships or have struggles. It's just saying that the color of our skin isn't one of those things that makes it harder.
All right, let me dwell on the past again one more time, and that's to ask about this camp. What happens at fifth grade camp in the past, and what apparently has started to happen and should happen in the future?
Yeah, so I will say I was sort of in the school district about a decade ago. And we've heard from alumni of many different sort of age ranges and relationships to the school about this experience in particular. The district has made changes in the last several years, so they no longer do this. But for a long time, students were divided into the Union and the Confederacy as a way to separate them for the week. And one of the sort of prevailing things is there's a sports tournament, or there was, I'm sorry, there was a sports tournament between the two sides of the battle. And students would often buy Confederacy regalia or flags or hats, and the Union side too, because that was your sort of identity while you were there. But I think a lot of us have reflected on how that didn't really account for the gravity of that conflict, and that in normalizing the Confederacy in that way was really harmful to our understanding of the depth of pain felt by the Black community and all of the history that's tied up into that conflict. And so, again, the district in the last couple years has started, I believe, classifying the sort of separate sides as red and blue rather than Union and Confederacy, and has started to make curriculum changes that do take more seriously the topics of slavery and Reconstruction and all of the sort of things wrapped up in the Civil War. But, you know, a lot of folks went through the camp when that wasn't the case. And I think it's always sat a little bit unwell with us when we actually thought about that experience.
Well, as they actually taught it in the school, it was clear what the Civil War was for at the time, and that was taught by the school, and then they went ahead and set that particular activity up in that manner, so that sort of left a little piece of undigested meat, I guess, hanging out there for everybody. Okay, you also talk about the idea of an apology for alum. Explain what that might entail and why that would be necessary.
I think a lot of alumni would appreciate the school district just recognizing that the way that they used to run the camp was harmful. I don't think that we're looking for anything particularly formal or hard to put together, but just an acknowledgement and saying that they're sorry. We really have heard from a lot of people that was a real moment of pause for them in their experience, and I really just think that, you know, as the district moves forward and thinks about what it can do better for future generations of students, that a lot of alumni would be grateful for the fact that it's acknowledging some of the ways that it failed in the past.
Why target the school district? Most of the issues you've described are community, systematic, regional issues. Why narrow focus on the district?
The school district is one of the most important institutions of our community. Most of us interact with it as students or alumni ourselves, or as parents or taxpayers. And public education is such an amazing resource. And this petition is trying to look at the policies or the rules that we can change to make our schools safer and more positive places for everyone in ways that they haven't been before. The other thing is that we've heard a lot people say, like, I didn't understand this before I left for college or before I left, you know, and lived elsewhere. And personally, like, I don't want young people to feel like they need to leave the valley before they understand more about power and privilege and the way that the world works.
Can you explain that power and privilege? That's kind of a through line in several parts of the petition, talking about making sure that students are aware of power and privilege and sort of other past practices at the district.
Yeah, I think that power and privilege is related to the identities that all of us hold. So your race can impact the amount of power that you have within a society or a community. Your gender can too, your sexuality. And there's a lot of both current and historic reasons for how those identities do or don't have power currently. And so we want people to be aware, you know, through, you know, when we talk about a power and privilege training, to be aware that if you are, for example, a straight white man, you have a particular set of ways that you interact with the world that are different than, for example, if you're a person of color. And again, right, we talked about how racism shows up both overtly and more hidden, and then interpersonally and systemically. And power and privilege are very related, that, you know, you might not know how much power your race gives you until you go through one of the trainings like that and start to think about it. And, you know, a silly, perhaps, example of this, it's not a systemic one, but I think it's really poignant. The color of flesh on Band-Aids is white. It matches white people's skin. And when I first started to learn about all of this, I'd never even had to think about that because it just automatically matched the color of my skin. But that's a particular power that my skin color gives me. And I think those kinds of things and starting to recognize your power or your privilege is really important to help to helping all of us start to build a different world and a more equal one.
Absolutely. The petition also calls for changes in policing. We sort of hear this nationwide, well, globally, really defund the police more towards community-oriented counseling or whatever might be ideal. How would you change policing? The district has a police force. How would you change that?
So as a country, we're in a moment where we're reimagining all across many different cities and communities what community safety looks like. And the defund movement is about taking really outsized budgets for policing and reallocating that money into things that have been underfunded that are also critical to safety, like counselors and healthcare and anti-racism organizing. And, you know, there's an example, right? There's a lot of examples of things that students could benefit from that would keep themselves and others safe if the school district had more money for counselors. You know, we've heard that from people that they personally would have benefited from that as a student. And I think that, you know, in general, we talk about safety and we need to make sure that we have a holistic approach to what we mean. And that is, right, health and wellness and mental health and community care in ways that goes beyond just a police force.
How can people get more information on this if they wish to sign the petition?
Yeah. So the petition is online. you can email us at sasdalumniorganizers2020@gmail.com. We'll send you the petition link. But I also want to say, like, if you're not sure about signing the petition and you have questions or you want recommendations of things to read, to learn more, or to watch or learn more, we're here to help. We'd obviously love if you'd sign the petition. But if we're going to create a more just future, a more just or equal community, it's on all of us to start in our own small ways. And so, you know, if that means that you're somebody who just wants to read an article and learn something or start to do your own research about race and policy and politics in this country, that's amazing. And I would love for folks to think of our cohort of organizers as a resource for that.
Well, thank you so much. That is SASD, Alumni Organizers 2020@gmail.com, and we'll look for folks to contact you. How many folks have signed already?
We are, as of this morning, at
hit refresh.
We're at 477 this morning.
There
sorry.
You go, almost 500.
Almost 500.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate your help and your information. Keep in touch. Let us know how this goes. This is the beginning of a conversation that could be very productive, so make sure you keep us up to date with progress. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Thanks, Mark.
Do appreciate that. Now, that's one of the representatives of the group circulating that petition. Again, SASD Alumni Organizers 2020@gmail.com.